This is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Welcome back to another episode of Tennessee Talks. I'm joined today by my new friend, Matt Van Swall. Did I get the name right, Matt?
You nailed it, yeah.
All right, brother, cool. Burchett's a tough one for people to get to. Matt works as head of subscription growth at WiseCam. Is that right? WiseCam.
That's right.
All right. He is a former nuclear scientist for U.S. Department of Energy and is an ex-photographer, Apple, United Airlines, and the Hyatt. I said the Hyatt, but I think it's just
sorry.
Hyatt.
But Hyatt still, Hotels, whatever.
Yeah. Matt, lately here he's blown up on X because of his great reporting and coverage on the day in and day out troubles of the people and up in Western North Carolina due to Hurricane Helene. That's how I came in contact with you. You've also been a critic of FEMA, which I have rightfully deserved. And their handling of their coverage in North Carolina. And that's what brought him here with me. So, Matt, thank you, brother. We're glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Appalachian folks have faced with this so-called temporary housing.
Well, it's been a true nightmare. I mean, it was a crapshoot from the beginning. You know, so many people displaced from their homes during Hurricane Helene. We're still talking to them. We actually talked to 8 of them today that are not living in their current home. But during that first, you know, it hit September 27th, all of October, not a single temporary house was delivered by FEMA to Western North Carolina, not one. Then they started delivering in single digits in the month of November. And again, there are 5,000 people right in hotels right now. So at least when FEMA was publishing like an open list of people that needed it, and this was back in early November, there were 500 people on that list. And up until today, they have not crossed the 150 homes delivered mark. It hasn't happened yet. They promised 100 by Thanksgiving. They missed that deadline. Then they're like, no, we'll hit 100 by Christmas. Missed that deadline. So, I mean, it's just been unbelievable at, I mean, how bad they are at this. And then when reporters ask them, like, hey, what's going on? What's the problem? FEMA will go, it's just hard to work up here in the mountains. And I'm like, that's your excuse? Like, the mountains are tough? Like, aren't you the emergency management agency?
Yeah. Well, they can manage about into a Walmart parking lot. That's about as far as they get. You know, and everybody saw everybody getting kicked out of their hotels in the freezing cold.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
That was a crazy day. So ever since we got power, which was 3 weeks after the hurricane, my wife and I have been trying to help with an organization called Operation Shelter. You may have seen Sean Hendricks on X. He's blown up as well. But he got Starlink from Trump, actually. Trump flew in his own personal helicopter, dropped him off for Sean. So we've been working with Sean ever since. In the morning before people were getting kicked out of hotels by FEMA, we have this basically a glorified Excel spreadsheet where people can fill out, we need help, and we just try to help, and we've been doing that for months. We're still getting people added today to that list. But on that morning, it was just full of people saying, we didn't expect this, but we're getting kicked out of our hotel by FEMA. And we were just calling people like, hey, what's going on? I called the hotels saying, like, what's going on? They're like, they got to go. That's what FEMA said. So I just started trying to call everybody. Like, you know, I got Mercury One on the phone, which is a wonderful nonprofit by Glenn Beck. His nonprofit dropped $40,000 that day, extending hotel stays for people. I mean, they do incredible work. Samaritan's Purse was involved. Local organizations were involved. But that was a crapshoot because they extended it for 24 hours. So what good is that going to do for a family in the middle of a snowstorm? And then they waited until 5 p.m. the night before to extend it another 48 hours. So these poor families are just like, what are we doing? And then, of course, the crisis just continued 48 hours later. And FEMA was like, at 8 p.m. the night before, goes, okay, I guess you can have another 2 weeks. I mean, it was just mind-boggling. I mean, there were thousands of people just refreshing the FEMA Twitter page to see, is my family going to get kicked out of a hotel tomorrow in the snow? I mean, I just at that point I was like, this is crazy. This does not seem like it's working for the people. Like, what a crazy situation.
Tell me about FEMA's 50% rule.
So FEMA's 50% rule, as I understand it, says if the damage to your house is estimated to be more than 50%, then you have to do special structural things to the home in order to rebuild. So that would be, for example, at least in Western North Carolina and a lot of other places, just raising the home off the ground by a substantial amount so it doesn't flood again. The problem with that is that this was a 1 in 1,000 year flood in Western North Carolina.
Right.
So these mountain homes are not made to be lifted up 10 feet into the air. Like, that's not going to work for these homes. So what you have instead is if you can't raise it, you have to demolish it and rebuild, or you have to move it somewhere else. These homes cannot be moved. It's like
Yeah.
these rules were built for Florida. Like, they're on the coast. They flood constantly. FEMA's like, I don't want
Sure.
to pay for something that floods constantly. Fair enough, right? So you have to do your part, raise that home up, right? It's right on the water. But in the mountains, these rules just do not work.
No, one size fits all. It's
That's
typical
right.
Washington group think. Add insult to injury. What about the employees that they were flying to, the FEMA employees? Are you familiar with the flying to Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I couldn't
Yeah.
believe that. In the middle of the hurricane relief, by the way.
To talk about climate change.
Yeah, to talk about, I mean, talk about like tone deaf. When people are needing help and you are flying people, across the world to go talk about climate change at some ritzy conference, no, that's not working for the people. You should be here, like right here, or in Eastern Tennessee, where they needed help too. It's just, I couldn't believe that when I read it. It was just unbelievable.
Also, they said that, these people won't come out of their tents to get help by FEMA. Are you familiar with those statements?
Yeah, I watched it on the news conference. Yeah, they're like, if anyone would like to come out of their tent and talk to FEMA, we will help them. Please explain why they're in tents in the first place. Let's start right there, right? Is it, what's the reason? And the reason is FEMA has all of these regulations about putting temporary housing units in what they call floodplains. And again, this is like the one size fits all rule that a typical FEMA. It's like, okay, I cannot put a house here on your land because your land is now deemed a floodplain because it flooded this once. And so you have to leave your home and go to a house wherever we decide to put it. Or you can go to this hotel an hour away from your job, from your family, from your school district. And you can do that. It's just crazy. I mean, truly nuts.
It seems like it just never ends. And now that we've heard that the North Carolina National Guard had left early and then posted
Yes.
videos as if they were still there.
Yeah, that was a wild day. I couldn't believe that one either. I mean, it's just like thing after thing after thing where it's like I feel like we're being left behind, that
Well,
nobody seems to care.
we are. We Congress voted for $100 million, and I have to tell you, I did not vote for it because I knew it'd be wasted or stolen. And then they never saw any of that money. That was back during the Biden administration. That was weeks ago that we voted for that in Congress and had a bunch of fluff and garbage in there for other people that didn't have anything to do with FEMA. And I just, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When groups like Samaritan's Purse, Mountain Strong, and some of these others are up there doing it without any government assistance, and then FEMA, they're
I see
and they're
Samaritan's Purse everywhere.
oh yeah.
Everywhere. I see them every day. Those orange shirts, I see them along the road clearing debris, mucking out. We are rebuilding a house for someone who had Samaritan's Purse come in and muck it out twice and then are doing mold remediation today. I mean, they are everywhere. They're such a great organization. I can't say enough good things.
I'm a big fan of them. And I guess my frustration with all of it is that we've seen this time and time again. We saw it in East Palestine. The vice president went there today on the 2-year anniversary, and they haven't mediated any of the toxic waste or
Oh
anything,
my
it looks
goodness.
like. And you got Hawaii, and now
Oh.
you've got You've got this, and then you've got California. It just never ends. And
Yeah.
the only people that are going to profit from this are the land, the land surveyors and stuff that are going to come in and swoop down like a bunch of buzzards. But
That's right.
anyway, I guess I get now this part. This has gone so fast, but you've been very informative. I want to thank you for what you've done. But let me ask you something. You get we always ask everybody that wants to can ask me two questions. So do you have any questions of me?
One of the questions is, how did you get into the habit of saying thank you all for sending me here after every one of your videos? That I have to say, like, that is one of my favorite things that you do, because it feels so real, and I
Well,
don't know anyone else that says that.
I never really thought about it. And I did those videos when I first did them. I had a lot of critics, because it's just me and I'm walking down there in my Carhartt because it's cold and whatever. And I tell people the stuff that goes on every day in the Capitol and meetings and things. And it just came naturally, but I didn't really pay any attention. And then the state party did this thing called the Statesman's Dinner. And they did videos of all of us, and they kept saying, and the one of me was just a montage of me saying, "Thank y'all for sending me here. Thank y'all for sending me. Thank y'all for sending me." And so, yeah, I guess it just caught on. But I sincerely mean it. I always tell people, if your congressman's enjoying his job, you probably need to get a new congressman because the sewer that is Washington, D.C. is an awful place. But yeah, it's genuine. I just never thought much about it. I just thank y'all for sending me here, and I mean it because I it is it's more than a tagline. I'm incredibly honored. More people would play professional baseball than I'm born this little pen right here. So that's kind of a neat setup for me. But anyway, Matt, brother, I want to thank you so much for being on our show. The work you've done in North Carolina is truly life-changing, and I truly mean that. If it wasn't for you, I think some of these people, the country wouldn't know how bad they're being mistreated, and those people wouldn't have gotten the care that they needed. And it's still ongoing, and it will be going for a long time because the mainstream media, they don't care. They're not doing their job,
Pigeon.
and
No.
they I'll get on put my political hat on, but they're very, very slow to criticize this. The former administration, because I think they, in fact, elected him. He was not mentally fit, and he sure isn't mentally fit towards the end. It was pathetic,
No.
and they covered for him. They elected him, and so they're going to do everything to trash the current administration and to
For seeing it.
uplift the former one because it's criminal. But I want to thank you again for joining me for this episode.
Thank you.
Remember, tell everybody. I have to tell everybody to follow me on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And then when I get off here, I'm going to ask my folks, "I'm on Apple Podcasts. What is that?" Because I have a 17-year-old daughter to tell me how stupid I am with computers. So anyway, I'm Congressman Tim
Right.
Burchett, and as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.